Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a jungle drop in Ableton Live 12 using macro controls in a way that feels creative, musical, and totally mix-aware. The big idea here is simple. Instead of treating the drop like a bunch of separate tracks with random automation everywhere, we're going to route it like one playable performance system. That matters a lot in drum and bass, because the drop is not just the moment the bass arrives. It's the moment the drums, sub, mids, movement, and FX all lock together and start working as one machine. If we get the routing right, the drop feels bigger, tighter, and way easier to finish later in mastering. So let's think in terms of three main groups: drums, bass, and FX. Inside drums, you want your breakbeat foundation, maybe a top loop or ghost percussion layer, and if needed, a parallel crunch path. Inside bass, split the sub from the mid bass. That separation is huge. The sub stays clean and mono, while the mid layer gives you attitude, movement, and width. Inside effects, keep your impacts, risers, reverse sweeps, and fills in their own lane. That group-based approach is the first key move. It means your macros can shape the whole section instead of just one sound. And in fast styles like jungle and rollers, that kind of control is gold. Let's start with the bass. Build a clean sub first. Use something simple like operator or wavitable with a sine or triangle style tone. Keep it mono, keep it focused. And if you want a touch of weight, add a little saturator with soft clip-on. You do not need to over-design the sub. The sub's job is to sit there solid and reliable, especially under a busy break. Then build the mid-bass as the personality layer. This is where you can get into a reese, a growl, or a darker harmonic texture. Detune slightly, add an auto filter, maybe a saturator, maybe drum bass, and then keep the width under control with utility. The important thing is that the mid-bass can move, but the sub stays stable. Now create a bass rack and map a few useful macros. Think of the macros as performance states, not just knobs. For example, one macro can be sub level, another can be mid drive, another can be filter cutoff, another can control stereo width on the mid layer only. You might also map tone, output trim, or envelope amount if your synth supports it. Here is the important teacher note: don't map everything to extreme ranges. That's a common mistake. A macro that opens a filter from super dark to screaming bright might sound exciting in solo, but in the full drop it can get unstable fast. Keep the ranges musical. Let the macro move the sound, not wreck it. A really useful trick is to make the rack sound strong at the middle position, not just at the extremes. That way your default state already feels good, and the macro travel becomes an intentional move rather than a rescue job. Now let's talk drums, because in jungle the break is not background information. It's the character of the whole drop. Load your break into simpler in slice mode or build it in drum rack with chopped slices. If you want a more advanced feel, split the break into kick and snare foundations, ghost notes, hats, and extra top percussion. That gives you more control over rhythm and energy. On the drum bus, add drum bus for transient punch and glue, EQ8 to clean out mud and unnecessary low rumble, and maybe glue compressor if the break needs more cohesion. If you want extra motion, you can also automate auto filter or frequency shifter for certain phrases. Map the drum bus with macros too. Good targets are break level, drum bus drive, crunch amount, filter opening, transient emphasis, and maybe reverb send for fills only. That last one is important. You do not want your break swimming in reverb all the time. You want space to appear when the phrase needs a lift. If the break is too busy, think about using rhythmic gating or an autopan style movement on a return path. That way the groove can shift without you rewriting the entire drum pattern. Small changes like that can make the drop feel alive. Now here's where the drop becomes musical instead of just loud. Call and response. In jungle and DNB, the bass should answer the drums, not just sit on top of them constantly. Try programming a two-bar phrase where the bass hits on beat 1, then leaves room for the break to speak, then answers again with a syncopated hit or a pickup. On the next bar, change the rhythm slightly. That back and forth creates tension and keeps the ear engaged. This is also where macros can help your arrangement breathe. One macro might control bass note length through clip envelopes or gate-like behavior. Another might brighten the mid-bass. Another might increase send amount to delay or reverb on specific moments. Another might thicken the drums or bring up FX fills. That way, instead of making every bar feel identical, you create phrasing. For example, the first 4 bars might be more stripped back. Then the next 4 bars open the filter and add more ghost percussion. After that, you can introduce a reverse fill and a wider harmonic layer. Then pull one element back, so the break can breathe again. That kind of structure is huge in drum and bass, because repetition can get stale fast if nothing changes. You do not need a new sound every 2 seconds. You just need the existing system to evolve in a controlled way. Now let's build a stronger bass bus using an audio effect rack. A good stock chain could include a EQ8, saturator, maybe overdrive or roar if your version has it, auto filter, utility and maybe redux for a little digital grit. Again, the point is not to overload it. The point is to create a macro matrix that gives you character control. Map macros like drive, filter cutoff, resonance, width, output trim, and distortion mix. A really nice advanced move is to split the rack into a clean sub-safe chain and a harmonic chain. Keep the sub clean and mono. Put the distortion, filtering, and width on the harmonic chain only. Then use one macro to crossfade between them or change the balance. That gives you a clean tarude control. In a darker roller, you might live around a moderate harmonic setting for most of the track, then push harder in the second half of the drop. That feels like the energy is climbing without blowing up the low end. Just be careful with stereo. If the bass sounds massive in solo but collapses in mono, the width is probably too wide, or it's reaching down into the low end where it should not be. Keep the sub centered. Put width only on the upper harmonics. Now let's move to effects and transitions, because this is where the drop starts to feel like a real arrangement. Build dedicated transition sounds, reverse cymbals, snare fills, impacts, downlifters, and short noise sweeps. Route them to the FX group, then map macros for FX level, reverb tail length, delay feedback, high pass filtering, impact brightness, and downlifter decay. A good approach is to use a return with reverb or hybrid reverb. Keep the pre-delay short, the decay controlled, and filter out the low ends so the FX don't cloud the mix. In darker DNB, you want atmosphere, not wash. One classic trick is the micro dropout. Right before a main snare or phrase change, pull the bass away for a tiny moment, then let the drums slam back in. That little gap resets the ear, and the return hits way harder. It's one of those old-school jungle tension moves that still absolutely works. Now let's zoom out and think like a mastering-aware producer. The goal is not to crank the master. The goal is to make the drop feel huge through arrangement, density, harmonics, and controlled contrast. So use your group buses and macros to manage perceived energy before it ever reaches the master chain. You might let the drum group gain move only a couple of dB. Same with bass. Use parallel compression lightly, not as a brick wall. If the drop needs to feel bigger, try opening the filter, adding harmonics, sharpening transients, or widening only the upper layers. Those changes create excitement without destroying headroom. That's the key mastering mindset here. Bigger does not always mean louder. In DNB, a drop often feels heavier when it gets cleaner, clearer, and more focused. A great workflow is to label your macros like a sound engineer would. Something like sub weight, bass bite, break crunch, width safe, effects lift, and drop open. Clear naming makes it much faster to automate and much easier to remember what each control actually does. Also, test each macro at full travel, then at 25%, 50%, and 75%. You want to know where the sweet spot is, where it gets too thin, and where it starts to break the mix. That's the kind of testing that saves you later. Another pro move is to version your drop states. Think of them like scenes. State 1 could be intro pressure, darker, tighter, less harmonic content. State 2 could be main impact, more drive, more presence, more break energy. State 3 could be a switch up, maybe brighter mids, more width on the harmonics, or a slightly more chop drum feel. You can get a lot of variation just by automating macro positions every 4 or 8 bars. That way the drop evolves without you needing to rebuild the whole section. In fact, some of the best jungle drops feel like they are breathing, not changing identity every bar. If you want to go even further, resample a strong section of the drop and chop the best bits into a new performance layer. That's a great way to create that grimy, organic jungle feel where the track seems to react to itself. Sometimes the best variation comes from printing the groove and reusing its most interesting moments. So here's the big takeaway. Route the drop as a system. Keep sub and mid separate. Let the break, bass, and effects talk to each other. Use macros to control movement, density, width, crunch, and tension. And always think in phrases, not just loops. If you do that, your jungle drop will feel performance ready, mix controlled, and arrangement aware. It'll hit harder in the session, translate better in mono, and leave you with a much cleaner path toward mastering. Now build the rack, test the macros, and make the drop evolve like it means it.